Well, good evening, everyone. A warm word of welcome once again to the house of the Lord this evening. We welcome you and we pray that the Lord will bless each one as we're found in his house this evening. To those online as well, we welcome you and we pray that the Lord will bless you as you tune in to our broadcast this evening. Do remember the announcements for the incoming week, the children's meeting tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Continue to remember that, work in your prayers. The Lord will bless, give safety in the travel, and also give a blessed time with the children during the meetings. Wednesday night, then, we meet for Bible study and for prayer at 8 p.m. And last Wednesday evening, we commenced studying the book of 2 Peter. And we're just going to launch out into that book, really, this week. We gave a brief introduction to it last week. And so we're going to start to study that book together from this Wednesday evening. And we do invite you and encourage you to set aside that time. We'd love to see even new people gathering with us for the time of prayer and Bible study on the Wednesday evening. And as I said, if you can give your time on a Wednesday night, please do so. The Friday night, the Youth Fellowship meets again at 8 p.m. And we look forward to that time with the young people and pray that the Lord will bless it as we have that fellowship together. The service is next Sunday, the regular times, commencing with the Sabbath school in the morning, 10:30. Regular times of worship, 11:30, 7 p.m. And of course, remember the seasons of prayer before both of the services. The door is still open, as it were, and the opportunity to leave in donations to be passed on to the Let the Bible Speak charity shops. Any good quality clothing, toys, books, or even Bibles. And we encourage you, if you can get them in before the end of January, just leave them into the minister's room. That corner is filling up rightly, and it's good to see. And all of those donations will be passed on to our Let the Bible Speak charity shops. Sam Houston's CD is still going for £10. And we're starting to shift a few of them, bit by bit. He gave us 15, and I was actually talking to another minister. And he told me, he says, we only shifted 4, and he's a bigger church than we are. We've shifted 5 so far, but we need to keep going with 15 here. If you'd like one of these, please do over the next couple of weeks. Put your name on the list and we'll get them to you. Priced at £10, and we trust it will be a blessing to you as you listen to our brother Sam singing. We mentioned this morning the mission as it continues in Cookstown for one more week. If you can get along to support any night there in the church in the Sandholes Road, then we encourage you to go along and to support them. Remember it in your prayers. And another mission commences this evening. Our brothers Noel Shields and Colin Maxwell go around the country doing weeks of gospel outreach, follow up by weeks of gospel mission. And they're commencing a mission this evening for the next week in Macarlin, just outside of Lurgan, in an Orange Hall there. And we do encourage you to remember our brethren, that the Lord will bless them and encourage them and save souls, even as that mission takes place in Macarlin. Just one final announcement. Do remember, if you haven't got any of the literature, it's still there in the front porch. There's a few of the magazines left. Let the Bible Speak magazine, the Vision magazine, Missionary Calendar, Missionary Council one, with all of the different prayer requests every month. Make sure you've got all of your literature as you go from the house of the Lord this evening. 480 is our opening hymn of praise this evening. The hymn 480, the page 369, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. 480, we'll stand together as we sing, please. Stand as we sing. Thank you. Let's just unite together in prayer. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank Thee already in this service that we've been drawn to the cross. We thank Thee for that old rugged tree where the Lord Jesus Christ hung upon it, shed His blood and died for us. We thank Thee, O God, that He was wounded for our transgressions and He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon Him. And with His stripes, praise God, we have been healed. We come to rejoice in this night, O God, that that sacrifice was accepted and was enough. We thank Thee that Jesus Christ has entered into the Holy of Holies for us. He's presented His body and His blood. And we thank Thee, O God, this night that we come rejoicing tonight that His blood has been sprinkled upon the mercy seat. And that blood speaketh better things than that of Abel's. O God, we plead the blood of Christ afresh tonight for the service which lies before us. We thank and praise Thee for the protection that is found in the blood of Jesus Christ. We pray that we will have that protection around about us tonight. That as we are in this house, O God, that Thou wilt keep the devil out of this meeting. That Thou wilt keep every distracting thought away. And O Father, that Thou wilt give us a blessed time in Thy house once again. We pray for Thy presence. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt draw near to us. Thou hast promised that where the twos and the threes are gathered together, Thou wilt be in the midst. And, O God, we are here in Thy name. We pray that Thou wilt make Thyself known. Lord, remember us that tonight, we pray Thee, and remember this church and this witness as a whole. We thank Thee, O God, for it. We thank Thee that even in this community, Thou hast favored it with the gospel over many years. We thank Thee for the light of the gospel that has shone, Lord, for many, many decades, for the gospel message that has been preached, for souls that have been saved, and for the work of Jesus Christ even prospering here in this area. We pray that Thou will continue to bless it, whether it be amongst the boys and the girls, whether it be amongst young people, whether it be amongst adults, O God, that Thou will bless it in the year to come, that Thou will bless it with souls being saved. O Father, as the gospel is preached week by week, that souls will be brought in under the sound of the preaching, that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And O Father, that Thou wilt draw men and women and young people unto Thyself. Lord, we pray for the visitation of God in this area once again. We pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We pray for the windows of heaven to be opened. We pray for waters to swim in, even for this congregation. And, O Father, that Thou wilt do a great and a wonderful work, that we will simply sit back and say, this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. O Father, we ask Thee that Thou wilt bless, and we pray that Thou wilt bless this entire county. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt bless this entire land. We think of gospel missions, even as we mentioned earlier. We pray that Thou wilt bless them. We pray for that mission there in the Sandholes Road in Cookstown. Lord, that Thou wilt visit that area with the gospel and visit it with salvation. That Thou wilt visit it, O God, with revival sent from Thee. Remember Thy servants as well in Makerlin. Lord, bless even there as that witness takes place over this next week. We thank Thee for the outreach that has been undertaken. We pray, O God, that those that have been invited will come in. And Lord, that their hearts will be open, their ears will be open. And O Father, that they will come and put their faith and trust in Thee. Remember, Lord, every little witness of Thine. We think of this land and we think, O God, of the light of the gospel, those candles that are still shining for Thee tonight. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt bless. We pray, O God, whether it be a small gathering or a large gathering, that they will know the presence of the Lord, that they will know the help of the Holy Spirit. As we pray for this land, we remember as well the south. We remember, O God, the mainland. We remember Thy work right across the world. O Father, in these days that Thou wilt move in mighty power. Lord, that Thou wilt visit this nation of ours once again. That Thou wilt turn it from darkness unto light. That Thou wilt turn it from the seat of rebellion and bring it, O God, to the seat of repentance. O Father, that Thou wilt have mercy. That Thou wilt cause Thy face to shine. O God, that we might be saved. Hear and answer prayer. Be with us tonight, we pray Thee. In Jesus' name, amen. 305, we continue to sing unto the Lord this evening. 305, the page is 300. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life, when the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? 305, again we'll stand as we sing. Let's stand together. I'm going to read again from Acts 27. Acts 27. Tonight we'll bring our time in this particular chapter to an end. Just want to bring you one more picture or parallel from the chapter together. Speaking to one of the brethren this morning, I was saying, you could spend weeks in this particular chapter. There's so much in it. So many different teachings or doctrines. So many different pictures and parallels. But we can't stay in it forever. And as I said, we'll come this evening one final time, but we're going to read from the verse 13 right down to the end of the chapter. Acts 27 and the verse 13. And even though we've read them over the weeks together, may they come with freshness to our hearts. When the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. When the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. Running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. We being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship, and neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. And when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms, and when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat, let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were in all of the ship, and we were in all in the ship 66 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land. But they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves into the sea, and loosed the rubber bands, and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind, and made toward shore. And falling into a place where 2 seas met, they ran the ship aground. And the fore part stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this evening. 232 is a hymn we'll sing together as the tithes and offerings are lifted this evening. 232, O sinner, the Saviour is calling for thee. Long, long as they called thee in vain, he called thee when joy lent its crown to thy days, and he called thee in sorrow and pain. Remain seated as the offerings are lifted, please. Let's stand for the remainder of the hymn, please.
Thank you.
Invite you to have your Bible open in Acts 27. Entitled the message this evening, From Shipwreck to Safety. From Shipwreck to Safety. Let's just ask the Lord to draw near and to speak to us all and to speak to our hearts this evening. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy presence already with us in this meeting. We thank Thee, O God, for drawing near afresh to us, for giving that help to each one as we have sought to praise Thee. And Father, now as we come around Thy precious word, as now it comes to be preached, O God, that Thou wilt settle us, that Thou wilt speak to us, that Thou wilt work within each and every heart. O God, this night that Thou wilt search out the hearts, we pray Thee. Save those that are lost. Restore those that are backslidden. And, O God, build up Thy children. Lord, glorify Thy Son through everything that is done and said. O God, I pray for that help to be given to me as I preach. I pray for that infilling of God, the Holy Ghost. O Father, that Thou wilt come. That Thou wilt guard my lips. That Thou wilt guard my mind and my heart. And everything that is done and said will come from Thee. O hear and answer prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen. The Reverend James Haldane, minister in Scotland, before he was saved, was actually Captain James Haldane. He had followed his father into the Royal Navy at that time. But one of the things that James Haldane as a captain was famous for during his naval days was the fact that he had a stinking mouth. He was known for his swearing and for his cursing. And how he talked to the sailors upon that boat was usually layered with curse words and swear words as he would speak to them. One particular occasion, he flew into a rage as he was in command of the vessel, and he flew into a rage with all of the sailors upon that boat. And in the midst of his rage, he wished that both himself and all of the sailors would be in hell. One of the sailors, standing listening to this, stepped forward. He said, Captain, he said, God hears prayer. And he says, if God answers your prayer right now, where will you be? You know, that question struck James Haldane to his very core. There upon that boat, even though he was a captain, he went down to his chambers and to his cabin, and he got down on his knees and he asked the Lord to save him. You know, over these weeks as we have been on this ship with the Apostle Paul, we've been able, by the help of the Lord, to see many things. See many pictures, many parallels with life, and indeed with the storms of life and how they affect both the saved and the unsaved. Last week we noted together how the Christian should conduct themselves as they face the storms of life. How they should be, even as we looked through the life of Paul, how they should be that encouragement to others around. How they should be that example, even to others around, of how a Christian conducts themselves in the midst of such challenging circumstances. But as we draw our time and the ship to an end, there's one more picture I want you to see this evening with me. And it's that of the sinner. You see, a man or a woman who remains in their sin is heading for shipwreck. Some individuals, indeed, will make shipwreck in their lives with the sins that they involve themselves with. Some of those sins means that they will make shipwreck with their jobs, make shipwrecks with their family relationships. They'll make shipwrecks with their career prospects. Indeed, they'll make shipwreck even with the quality of life that they have. Others still make shipwreck spiritually, where they believe that they're in control. They believe that they're heading for safety. They believe that they know where they're going and they know how they're getting there. And their hope is based in self, or their hope is based in works, or their hope is based in religion. But the reality is, it's shipwreck that's coming their way. These verses that we read together this evening, I want to just, as it were, skim over the top of them once again. and look at them through the eyes of the sinner. And I trust and pray that if any be amongst us tonight outside of Christ or even listening online, tonight you're heading for shipwreck spiritually, that tonight that you will be brought into the safety of the Lord Jesus Christ. Three things I leave with you as we consider this together. Firstly, I remind you of the state of the sinner. The state of the sinner. You know, time and after time as you go through these verses, Luke constantly brings us back to just how bad and how bleak the situation is. As he is writing this under inspiration, and as the days pass by, and we read tonight of how 14 days upon that ship have undertaken, and we read, and Luke constantly tells us again and again just how awful it was. Just how tempestuous the wind was. Just how rough the sea was. Just how dark and how bleak the conditions were. Indeed, from the moment they set off, they're in the most awful predicament. You read it there together with me. It says there in verse 14, not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind. In other words, they've literally just left the harbor. They've literally just come out into the open sea, and immediately the tempestuous wind comes up. And the predicament that those sailors and all the individuals upon that ship find themselves in. Well, firstly, the state of the sinner is seen in the fact that those in the ship are never in control. They're never in control. They thought they were in control. They heard that south wind. They saw that south wind blowing softly. In the verse 13, they thought, well, we've got our purpose. We've got our plan. Everything's in place. We're in control. We're going to just push out, go round the coast and come back in. They decided when to go. And they believed, right, this is our decision. We're going out from shore. We have chosen the time. There's a south wind blowing softly. We're in complete control. We've made a decision for ourselves. We're heading out of port. We know how long it's going to take. Half a day, we should be into the next port. We should be there for all of winter. We're in control. And very quickly, they realize they're not in control. Verse 14, the tempest rose up. Verse 15, we let her drive. Verse 17, they were driven. They had no choice. They had no say. They had no control over what was happening. They were at the mercy of the wind. Wherever that wind took them, that's where they were going to end up. If the wind was going to take them north, it was going to take them north. They couldn't steer the ship west. It didn't matter what their desires were. The tempest rose up and we let her drive. And we were driven. Many today say that they're in control of their destinies. Many today, unsaved, are saying, I'm in control of my life. I make my decisions. I decide where I'll go. I'll decide who I'll go there with. I'll decide what I get involved with. I'll decide what I do. I'll even decide what I consume. And yet very quickly, sin has the control over them. The devil's deciding what they take. The devil's deciding where they go. The devil's deciding how much they take, what they put in their bodies. In reality, the devil's the master, the sinner's the slave. That's what Paul says in Romans 6, verse 16, and again in verse 20. He speaks about the unsaved being servants of sin. Not word for servant, it's the Greek word doulos. Doulos is also the word for slave. How many slaves have a say? How many slaves do you know ever could tell their masters what they wanted to do? The master tells the slave where to go, what to do, and how long to do it for. Slaves have no say. Slaves must do exactly what their master says and do exactly how long he says it for. That's how long they'll do it for. That's a sinner to the devil. Never in control. But then I also see that those upon the ship were ever in darkness. Verse 20, it tells us, when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared. Those upon that ship, they never saw the sun or the stars. They never saw any light at all. Now, of course, the sun was there. Every morning the sun rose in the sky, but they never saw the light. You know, it's like those rough days. I don't know if you've ever flown or got on an aeroplane in the pouring rain. The dark clouds are hovering over and you get on that plane and that plane takes off and it's all grey and it's all dark, but then the plane goes up through the clouds. Guess what's above the clouds? There's actually a sun there. I know some days we think it's not there. It's always there. And these men in this boat, all they could see was the darkness of the clouds day after day and the thickness and the darkness of the night, and they couldn't see one star in the sky and they couldn't see the sun throughout the entire day. The sun was always there, but they never saw it once. They were blind to the light. It's amazing when you think of it how powerful the sun is. How strong the rays of the sun are. And yet that light never once got through the clouds. And those men, despite how much they searched and they searched and they looked around the entire skyline, they looked just for one little bit of light, just to guide us, just to show us what's going on. And they never saw one glimpse of light. I was telling the children the other day the story of Bartimaeus in the assemblies. Bartimaeus, the blindness that was upon Bartimaeus, the sun in the sky outside there in Jericho, and yet that sun, he never saw it once for the blindness that was upon him. And yet the sun was as bright and as strong as ever. Now I think of the sinner, particularly here in Northern Ireland. So many gospel preaching churches. So many churches that present Christ every single week. They bring to the congregations that gather the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. They bring to them the light of the gospel. They bring to them the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior, is the only hope. Yet how many are in darkness? All of these beacons of light, these torches as it were, they're all across the entire land of Northern Ireland. You can't go very far without finding a gospel preaching church in nearly every town. Yet the sinner can't see the light. I think of individuals even growing up in godly homes. Godly parents. Yet they're blind. 2 Corinthians 4:4 tells us that the god of this world, in other words, the devil, hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. These men were on the ship. The sun's in the sky, they can't see it. They weren't in control. They couldn't see. And so the result of everyone in that ship, apart from Paul, they were without hope. Verse 20. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. They couldn't see. They weren't in control. From the oldest to the youngest, the most experienced in that ship down to the newest member of that crew, and even all of the captives, every single one of them, they lost hope. Now that's the bottom line, isn't it? If you're not in control and you can't see, you're hopeless really, aren't you? You've no hope of salvation. You've no hope of getting to safety. What an awful existence the sinner finds themselves in. state of the sinner. Secondly, I want you to see with me the striving of the sinner. Because into that very hopeless situation in that ship stepped the Lord with a message. God had his man upon that ship, the Apostle Paul. Paul stepped forth with that word from the Lord for them all, a word of hope and a word of salvation. You see, that's what God's always done. My friend, that's what God will always do until the time whenever grace comes to an end and the day of saving grace comes to an end, when the Lord returns. Until that time, what does the Lord do? He sends forth preachers. He sends forth evangelists. He sends forth individuals to bring the message of hope, the message of salvation to sinners. Paul stepped forth, even after many days, and said, first of all, yes, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me. But then he said unto them, be of good cheer. You're all going to be saved. He told them how they could be saved, to believe in the Lord, to believe in his word. And yet, just like the sailors, they hear the gospel message, but they don't listen. Because do you notice at the start, the sailors didn't listen? Because up until that point, every time that Paul had said anything to them, they did the opposite. Some sinners, it's a case, and they tried even here, like the sailors, they didn't simply listen and obey, but rather they said, no, we're going to try something ourselves here. And you read those verses with me as we read down through them this evening. It tells us the verse 18 that they lightened the ship. The verse 19 then, the third day, they cast out with their own hands the tackling of the ship. This ship's getting tossed about in the sea. And the sailors realize, right, to get us to safety, we need to lighten the ship. We're going to decide what we'll give up to be saved. And they look around the ship, and the captain's looking around the ship, and he's thinking to himself, right, I can do without that, throw it overboard. And I can do without that, throw it overboard. And I can do without that, throw it overboard. And I guarantee in those first 14 days, someone said to him, what about the weight? He says, no, I need the weight. Because you'll read further on down after they eat, then they finally throw the wheat out. Sinners do the same thing, you know. They'll try and you'll tell them, oh, you need to be saved. You need to give up your sin. You need to turn from sin. You need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And a sinner goes, no, I'll try and make changes myself. And hopefully that'll be enough. They accept, yes, my life's in a bad state. I'm heading in the wrong direction. I need to make change, but let me choose what changes I make. I always remember part of my father's testimony. My dad started to drink and go into a pub when he was 13. You close your ears. You're 13. 14. Don't do it. But my dad was tall enough. He could go into the pub and they would serve him. Age of 17, he came into contact for the very first time with the gospel through the Reverend McRae. He went along to Tin Tabernacle in Macrofelt. Then he started going to Martyrs on a Sunday night and listening to Doc preach. And Dad was sitting under that gospel preaching every week. And he started to realize, I need to make changes. And so what did he do? He went along to the pub still, but he says, no, I'll have an orange juice. I'll come away from alcohol. I'll have a Coke instead. I'll come away from those kind of things. And surely that's enough. I'm choosing. I'm making moral judgment changes and choices in my life. And surely that's enough to save me. My friend, for salvation, you can't simply look through your life and choose what stays and what goes. That's not how salvation works. You don't simply go, right, I'll give up A, B, and C, but I'll keep D, E, and F. That's not how salvation works. These sailors chose to get rid of the tackling. They chose to lighten the ship. Eventually, they would come to the point and say, right, we'll even give up the weight. That's all of our money. That's all of our income. That's all of our hope for future. We'll even give it all up. But none of it saved them. None of it made them safe and secure. I remember that rich young ruler came to the Lord, Mark 10, wanted to be saved. He came with a heart that was ready. He came with a desire. He was ready to make changes in his life. Good master, what will I do that I inherit eternal life? And he's coming with that acceptance, right? I have to make changes. I'm going to make changes. He was willing to give up certain things. But the Lord said, no, you have to give up everything. You sell all that you have. You give your money to the poor. Then you come and you follow me. Give up everything. And what happened? He went away. Why? Sorrowful. Because he was exceedingly rich. He wanted to be saved on his terms. My friend, this evening, simply giving up alcohol or smoking or some other vice or sin in your life, simply trying to better yourself or better your physical health, that's only a works-based religion. That's only you trying to better yourself and make yourself feel better. But my friend, your best efforts are still filthy rags in the sight of God. You cannot be saved simply by saying, I will do this or I will do that. And you can strive and you can strive and you can work and you can work and you can put all of your effort into it. Martin Luther did. Martin Luther put every ounce of energy he had into trying to make himself better. None of it saved him. Martin Luther even took the whip to himself. Martin Luther starved himself. None of it saved him. These men, even as we come towards the end of the chapter, it tells us whenever it was day, and they saw that little place, that little gap as it were, and they decided, right, we're going to head towards the shore, and they're working and they're saying, surely there's a certain creek, verse 39, into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust the ship. So they take off the ropes, those bands that were around the ship, they put the sail up, they do everything they can, they're going, right, let's go for it. And it doesn't work. The ship runs aground. The back end of the ship's gone. Smashed to bits. And they have no hope. Salvation is not about a sinner striving. You cannot save yourself. Cannot get yourself to that haven of safety yourself. Regardless how hard you work, regardless what you're willing to give up. Because let me show you thirdly and finally, the salvation for the sinner. You see, I believe it with all of my heart, only Jesus Christ can save. I believe it with all of my heart that it's only through His blood that He shed in Calvary's tree that can cleanse you from all of your sin. Only He can bring you from shipwreck to safety. It's only through His sacrifice. It's only through His blood that atones. It's only through His death that's accepted. It's only through His resurrection that we have hope and assurance that Jesus Christ is alive, that He's risen from the dead, He's ascended into glory, and He's coming for His people. It's only through the gospel that we can be saved. So what do you have to do to be saved? Let me use verse 43 and 44 to show you. End of verse 43. The centurion commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea. First thing you need to do, you need to cast yourself in the Lord. See the word there that's used? It's interesting too, because for the very first time in this whole journey, they listened to Paul. For the very first time, they've listened to Paul. And Paul's told them exactly what to do at every step. And then the centurion, willing to save Paul, he kept them from their purpose. He commanded they which could swim should cast themselves into the sea. The first thing you need to do is cast yourself in the Lord. Why? See the word for cast there? It's only used once in the whole scripture. It's a Greek word, aporhipto. It means to hurl yourself off. In other words, those that could swim were told to jump as far as they could away from the ship, to literally hurl themselves off the side, not simply to drop themselves down gently down the side and still clinging on, but to get as far away from that ship as they possibly could. My friend, that's exactly what you need to do to be saved. You need to get as far away from your sin. The only way you can get away from your sin is to get to the Lord Jesus Christ. The only one who is righteous that you can turn to is Jesus. The only one that's holy is the Lord Jesus Christ. To get away from your sin, to be saved from your sin, what do you have to do? Cast yourself upon Him. You'll be saved. I'll give you the other example, verse 44. The rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. You need to cling to the Lord. You need to cling to the Lord. You think of those sailors and those captives, anyone that couldn't swim. They have to get in the water. Absolutely terrified. They can't swim. They can't do one stroke in front of another. They're clinging for all of their life to a board, to a piece of wood. To be saved, you need to cling to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you need to cling to His cross. You need to depend on Him. You need to hold on to Him. And praise God, if you hold on to the Lord Jesus Christ, He holds on to you. Never let you go. Now it tells us here at the end of the chapter, verse 44, it came to pass, they escaped, notice the word, all. All. 276 individuals cast themselves out of the ship and clung to the wood. Every single one of them made it to the island. See, when you cast yourself upon the Lord Jesus Christ and you cling to Him, I promise you this, in the authority of Scripture, you will be saved. You will escape. What a joy. What an assurance the Lord Jesus Christ gives him that cometh unto me. I will in no wise cast out. You cast yourself in the Lord, He's not going to cast you from Him. He's going to take you. And He's going to save you. And the wrath of God then you'll just be escaped from. Everyone that comes to Christ escapes the pit of hell. Escapes the eternal punishment. But you neglect Christ. And Scripture asks the question, how shall we escape? How can you get away from hell if you've rejected Christ? How can you get away from God's wrath if you turned your back on God's Son? These men were given these simple instructions. Paul told them, he said, first of all, you trust the Lord. I believe the Lord. They were told, get out of the ship, cast yourself in the sea, cling to the wood. Every one of them was saved. And so tonight, if you're here and you're not saved, let me encourage you. Let me plead with you. Heed the word of the Lord Jesus and come to Christ. Cast yourself upon Him. Cling to Him. And He will save you. And the shipwreck of your life will turn to safety. The question is this: will you come? Will you heed His word? Will you accept His invitation? What would have happened if the soldiers had have killed all of the captives? Every one of them would have died. What would have happened if the sailors had have got that little boat down into the water and got away in it? Everyone would have died. But what happened whenever they followed the word of God? Every one of them was saved. My friend, salvation is only one way. Not many ways. One. It's Jesus Christ. You haven't Christ, you haven't salvation. It doesn't matter what you have. It doesn't matter what you believe in terms of your background. If you don't have Christ, you're not saved. If you have Christ, praise God, you're saved forever. Each one, yeah, and everyone, made it to the island. Oh, that each one of us, I trust and pray, and say with that assurance, I'm heading for heaven because I'm clinging to Christ. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Our Father and our God in heaven, we bow before Thee. We thank Thee, O Lord, even for what we can see from this passage and, Lord, the gospel parallels that there are. And Father, we pray for Thy word. Even now, as this meeting comes to an end, we pray, O God, that Thy Spirit will be busy. We pray that Thou wilt speak, O God, and continue to speak. That each one in this building and listening online, O God, that their faith, their trust, their all will be on the Lord Jesus Christ. That they will be clinging to Him. O Father, we pray that Thou wilt work. We pray for any that be outside of Christ, that Thou wilt strive with them. That Thou wilt bring them, O God, to an end of themselves and bring them unto Thee. O Father, hear and answer prayer. Separate us now with Thy blessing. Take us to our homes in safety and watch over us in the days that lie ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.